time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Holly Howard.
Welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, downtown Las Vegas, our new home, Circa Resort and Casino. Mitch Moss, Holly Howard. In 5 minutes, Brad Powers, college football better, handicapper, numbers guy. He is going to join the program. We'll find out. We'll just run the gamut with him coming up in about 5 minutes. So I reached out to a couple of people, by the way, regarding this. It might happen, huh? With Coastal Carolina and BYU.
How about this now? Right. I mean, this was Adam Kramer with Kegs and Eggs on Twitter with a part of VSiN. Next time we schedule a game for 2045, I'll remember these last few months.
Bingo.
Adam Rittenberger now. Everything I'm hearing is sources point to BYU, Coastal Carolina, Saturday, Liberty, COVID issues. Game's still on the board here. Coastal Carolina up to 12. Willis, the quarterback, is out. Mm-hmm. That's not a significant downgrade. Kid's good.
It has to be.
But it's still 12, and this is unfortunate. I mean, game day's there. It's a marquee game. Liberty against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
And here it is. Anytime, any place. Yeah. If they we'll make this happen as long as you don't, there's not Pac-12 shenanigans, which BYU was correct. Game was canceled. They made Washington go play somebody else.
So I asked Paul Stone via text yesterday what he made the number or what he would make the number. And he said BYU 10 against Coastal. I asked other people and they said about 9.5.
Really?
So in that neighborhood.
Wow. Be a hell of a game. The funny thing is, whoever wins the game will probably move up one spot in the rankings with this sham that they do every Tuesday night. But that's what they should do, though. I mean, just try to – I mean, there was that there was a guy who – I think he works at ESPN. He said, if I'm BYU, I cancel the San Diego State game, and I go play – and things have changed here, though, because of COVID and what's all hell breaking loose. But I try to schedule Coastal, Cincinnati, and somebody else.
Yeah.
And then say, now you like me. Now look at my resume. I got three top 20 wins.
It's not a bad idea.
But this will be great that it can happen. And it's looking like Liberty, and it'd be unfortunate for Liberty because they'd be on national TV and game days there and everything. But what a job Coastal's doing. I mean, Louisiana got beat. Their one losses against Coastal in a close game. That's the thing people are missing, too, about BYU. And we said it before the Boise game. These are men. These are men with jobs, Jerry. I mean, a lot of them are married with kids. A lot of these guys are 22 years old with the Mormon missions.
Sure.
The offensive line, what do they average? What they show? 6'6", 300? 6'4", 300 on the Boise game? You got an NFL quarterback? You got all Americans there?
I'll tell you. Okay, so if we do get that game, BYU and Coastal, I will be stoked to watch it for sure. I was actually more excited for Coastal and Liberty. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I was.
Yesterday was a rough day. Four straight games canceled for UAB. They haven't played since Halloween. Louisiana Tech plays tonight. Haven't played since Halloween. Houston. Twice they've tried to play at SMU. Canceled. Tulsa. Canceled. Memphis. Rescheduled. North Texas. Baylor. Washington State. Rice. Canceled. Memphis, December 12th. TBA. All these other games canceled yesterday. We're supposed to get four games tomorrow. We're down to one.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas. UNLV. Boise. Canceled. Las Vegas Bowl. Canceled. Hits keep on coming.
Yeah, it sucks. We'll continue talking college football. Brad Powers is going to join the program coming up next. Get his thoughts on if we do get Coastal and BYU, the number that he would make on it, and other games that he likes, other bets that he's made this week. Brad Powers next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
College basketball today, third-ranked Iowa hosting the Leathernecks of Western Illinois. The Hawkeyes a 33.5-point favorite. Virginia Tech laying 22 at home at VMI. Number 25, Arizona State, a 7.5-point road favorite at Cal. UConn laying 1 against USC. UCLA, a 19.5-point favorite at Pauley Pavilion against Seattle. Utah laying 7.5 against Washington. The Las Vegas Raiders had two players on the injury report yesterday, running back Josh Jacobs and wide receiver Nelson Aguilar. The Raiders are 8-point road favorites to the New York Jets on Sunday.
Take advantage of the VSiN holiday subscription offer. You'll save 25% on a new membership, and you'll receive everything we have to offer all year long, including Point Spread Weekly, 24/7 video streaming, 20% savings of the VSiN store, and daily email updates at best bets from show hosts and guests. VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
Welcome into the show. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch and Paul with you here on a Thursday morning. Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian for two segments coming up in about a half an hour. We'll do Win Some, Lose Some. And right now, love talking to this guy, Brad Powers, excellent on college football. He joins the program. Brad, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing on the
Doing well. Morning? Doing well. Before you popped on, we were discussing the possibilities here of getting Coastal and BYU this week instead of Coastal and Liberty because of the COVID issues with Liberty. Where are you at with that game as of right now? Do you think the Liberty game is going to get canceled? Do you think we get Coastal and BYU? And we talked to a couple of people. They made BYU about 9.5 or 10 against Coastal. Would that sound in the ballpark to you?
Yeah, it sounded in the ballpark. I think I'd make it 10.5. I kind of like the matchup for BYU in that one. I mean, I heard Pauly talking about it. I'm on the same wave of thinking. I mean, it's just no lean on Coastal. As far as 22-year-old guys at offensive line, Coastal hasn't seen anything like that so far this season. So I'd make BYU 10.5. I'd be looking to bet BYU at anything less than 10 on that one.
What if the game stays in place? And Liberty plays, and they have these issues, and no Willis, and it's 12 here at Circa. And as you point out in your newsletter, and they're your biggest upgrade, but Coastal's been crushing at ATS and also what they're doing every week ATS.
Yeah, so, I mean, if all things were good on Liberty's side, I was looking to actually bet Liberty in that game. I only made the line 4.5 as far as a pure power rating in that one, so. But without Willis, I think Willis is worth at least a touchdown. I mean, I think he's one of the most valuable players in college football. We've seen already Liberty without Willis this year. It was against North Alabama, and that offense just was not the same. So, you know, if the game does get played and it's Willis and multiple players out, I mean, certainly Coastal Carolina deserves to be a significant double-digit favorite in that one.
Yeah. Why has this been such a good season for you? And profitable. And also, since the last time we talked to you, how have you been doing getting the best of the number at Circa with the openers?
Yeah, so I mean, mixed bag. Let me say I've had a good college football season, NFL, which I also do has not been good for me. So mixed bag, much like 2020 has been just for about everybody. What's helped me, I think, on the college side is I'll say this, and then not doing a lot of basketball work last March and also NBA work in April and May allowed me to really do a deeper dive on college football player specific. And that was my thought process was if we were going to have position groups that were going to be, you know, taken out as far as maybe they were going to be missing several key players. I wanted to familiarize myself with the players and position groups much more than I've done in past recent years. Because the expectation I had was, hey, we're going to see a lot more second-string backups than ever before. I need to know how good these guys are. I think that's probably the most important reason why I've had a good college season.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, then on that note, I mean, and we were talking about this, you know, throughout the week, Brad, specifically like starting this week and then moving forward, I mean, you need to be on your toes and up on like all these teams with the players that could be potentially opting out for various reasons.
No question. You know, and also it's a good taking the temperature of the room. If you got some of your key guys, for example, Texas, after a key loss against Iowa State last week, they had team leaders. Guys that have been staples on their offensive tackle has been a staple for them for multiple years. Him opting out to me is kind of a you know, you're opening the door to that locker room. As far as what's the mood and the overall vibe, I don't want to be betting Texas when I see key leaders opting out for the rest of the season.
How about also games this week? TCU's got COVID issues. A ton of teams have COVID issues, and games have been canceled. What are you looking at as far as who's still going to try to play, but you're concerned about depth and maybe cluster injuries or COVID issues?
Well, great question. And I don't like TCU this week. I like Oklahoma State. I have bet Oklahoma State in that game. TCU, I think it kind of fools gold. They played Kansas last week. And despite the fact they had a lot of COVID issues last week, that got masked by the fact they played Kansas, the worst Power 5 team in the country. So I think they're getting overvalued. That's why I like Oklahoma State. But generally speaking, guys, what I focused in on is a lot of teams where you're not questioning motivation. I mean, your guess is as good as mine on a lot of these teams down the stretch until I physically see it. I like a lot of teams, you know, as far as betting that I feel safe with, teams that I think will be motivated. For example, Colorado's had a really good start to the season, probably not getting properly priced in the national market, not getting enough attention for the as good a job as Carl Durrell's done. That team, Colorado, to me, is a team that's going to be motivated. I don't have to question that. Doesn't look like they have COVID issues. Colorado's the type of team that I'm looking to bet on, not only this week, but down the stretch.
Okay. And how about the Auburn A&M game?
I like Auburn. And to me, this is more of a gut for me. And sometimes you get, you know, you're kind of talking the power ratings are the starting point of any handicap. Then you dive into the matchup situation. To me, this is just a pure gut. I've seen Auburn year after year after year at least pull one of these games where you're like, wow, that's what Auburn could be. We've seen them outright upset Alabama multiple times. We've seen them as a home underdog seven times here in the last 5 years. They're 6-1 against the spread. They have won outright five of those games. And here we have an Auburn team catching a full touchdown against a Texas A&M team that, sure, I mean, I think they're a legitimate top 10 team. I thought that coming in this season. I think that right now. But, I mean, what's their great fame? I mean, they beat Florida in a game that they were, you know, getting beat by, you know, double digits at a point in the second half. So outside of that game, A&M, I mean, they crushed South Carolina. South Carolina stinks. Last week, that LSU game did not impress me whatsoever with A&M. I don't think they should be laying 7 on the road against Auburn. I like Auburn not only plus 7, but wouldn't be shocked that Auburn beat A&M outright.
Great call. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Brad Powers, our guest. In terms of teams potentially making the playoff and playing for the national title, Brad, do you, when it comes to your opinion on it, do you just say, well, look, I have my four best teams per my rating, so we have to go with the top four? Or like this year specifically, do you look at it and say, man, we don't have enough of a sample size with Ohio State to potentially only playing maybe 5 games? You can't put them in. You got to reward a team like Cincinnati maybe if they run the table.
So great question, Mitch. I think it should be a combination of the two. It should, how do we get the best teams, but also the most deserving teams? Because if we just did best teams, then, I mean, you just take a Vegas power rating.
Right.
And maybe we have 2 lost teams. You know, Alabama, you know, I'm dating myself, but that year in 2010 when they lost 3 games, they were one of the 4 best teams. I mean, put Alabama in. It's got to be a combination of best and most deserving. And I'm on the fence with Ohio State. I think clearly the Buckeyes are a top 4 team. But at some point, you got to play the season. I mean, 4 games is not enough right now. They need to play at least, in my opinion, 2 to 3 more games for them to be in the mix. You know, Cincinnati and BYU certainly aren't top 4 in a power rating, but I do think they're legitimate. I have them in my top 11, both Cincinnati and BYU. And if they're you know, in the mix there, and you're comparing, hey, Cincinnati and BYU has played 10, 11, 12 games, comparing to Ohio State that's played 5 or 6, even though I'd favor Ohio State on the neutral field, Cincinnati and BYU to me would be more deserving as far as what they have on paper than Ohio State this year.
Oh, so yeah. We're talking about most deserving and best teams, and you've been doing this a long time as an expert and worked for Phil Steele. How about the worst? We got the toilet bowl with Akron and Bowling Green. But all your years doing this, where's UMass and Louisiana Monroe rank?
Those 4 teams, you just hit on the worst 4 in the country, they are among the worst that I've ever power rated. And Akron and UMass were certainly in the mix last year, 2 of the worst teams I've ever power rated. And now we have 4 teams this year with Bowling Green and UL Monroe added to the mix. I mean, I very rarely have teams power rated in the 30. I mean, basically my power ratings go up to 100 with 100 being the best. I mean, it's not, you know, you can break that barrier. Alabama's broken that barrier many times. And usually I go down to like 40, 45, but this is the last couple of years have been the first time I've actually had teams power rating in the 30s. I mean, that a power rating in the 30s is basically like an average FCS team. That's how bad those teams are.
Oh my God. Okay. How about the games tonight? And as you point out in your newsletter, which we'll promote in a second, Louisiana Tech has been off since Halloween. Air Force also playing tonight. 3 of their last 4 games have been canceled. Utah State, their opponent, head coach fired. Quarterback kicked off the team. 4 starters have transferred. And then the new kid comes in and looks great in the win against New Mexico. Any thought on the 2 games tonight?
Yeah, so, you know, early bets, really love my position on North Texas. I got them 4.5. Didn't understand it. To me, it was not only a power ratings disparity, but the fact, hey, what do you expect with Louisiana Tech that they haven't played in over a month? And on top of that, I don't think getting properly priced in, they had a couple of key players. Their second leading rusher and their top wide receiver opted out. So it's not going to be the same Louisiana Tech team that we saw 5-6 weeks ago. North Texas, even at the current number, would be my preference there. I'm actually going to take the dog, Utah State. I think they're getting way too much disrespect. I couldn't believe they were catching 6 last week. And it comes down to the quarterback. The market downgraded the quarterback position too much. He comes in, not only, you know, has a capable game against New Mexico throwing, but also ran for over 100 yards. That dual threat to me says Utah State shouldn't be catching double digits against Air Force this week.
Okay. How about, do you have a lean or an opinion on App State and Louisiana Friday night?
A tough one. App State's dominated the series. Yep. Has never lost to UL Lafayette. But with that being said, Lafayette to me has been the more impressive team. If I'm looking to catch 3, 3.5 with Lafayette, that would be my only bet in that game. If it's in that 2, 2.5, it's going to be a pass for me.
Excellent job. Thanks for getting up early. I love your newsletter. How can people get it?
Yeah, you just go to bradpowersports.com. And if you want to check it out first, check it out. I got every single issue for this year up there. You can download it for free. And it's college, it's pro, it's every single game I write up every single week. My power ratings, you name it, it's all in there. You can check it out at bradpowersports.com.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. Yeah, great stuff.
All right, take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You too.
He's got injuries, COVID cases, recapping last week. He's got some picks. Good stuff in there with his newsletter. Yep. So the other thing, too. He made a good point about how do you know best? But to me, it always should be most deserving because you don't know best. You don't know. These teams don't play each other.
Yeah.
And this has happened in the last few years where things changed. It became who has the best loss. And if you have the best loss, we'll put you in. Not best resume.
Right.
Best loss. Not best win. Best loss. They've starting to do that now in the last couple of years.
I'm telling you, he's exactly right. If they take the best teams, then you must consider 2 or 3 lost teams. And having said that, that's why I've been saying since the beginning of this playoff, a smart Power 5 team would schedule nothing but really good programs in the non-conference. And even if they suffer a couple of close losses at 10-2 or whatever, then the committee can say, well, we really have to take a peek at this team.
And people have been ripping the ACC for years, and some of it rightfully so. But we know Clemson is either the best or the second best team in the country. But they look at their schedule.
Yeah, they're
laying 35 points in conference games. Here's and you can follow him on Twitter too at BradPower7. Here's his top 11 rankings: Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Florida, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Georgia, Wisconsin, A&M, Cincinnati, BYU. I don't know how you evaluate and have Wisconsin that high. That'd be my one because routed, 7 points against Northwestern in the loss, and then routed Michigan and Illinois, who are no good.
The sample size is just not a lot to go on there, obviously.
His biggest upgrades from last season, Coastal Carolina, huge. Rutgers, BYU, Arkansas, Northwestern, biggest downgrade, Southern Miss, Utah State, and Navy.
Okay, and he also talked about how those 4 teams that you brought up are 4 of the worst teams he's ever power rated in his years of doing this. So I want to tie that into a tweet from Steve Mackinnon, who does a great job in Point Spread Weekly. He tweeted this out yesterday. He's been doing college basketball power ratings over the last 10 years. After the loss the other night to Grand Canyon and the corresponding adjustments, Mississippi Valley State's rating of 44.5 is officially the lowest he's ever had on a team in that span. I bet Grand Canyon, small bet, very small bet the other night. I laid 19 at the half and 33, I think, for the game. They covered both. That's how bad we're talking with this. Grand Canyon's laying more than 30 against Mississippi Valley State.
My God.
They're 0-4 ATS, and they're missing the cover by 16 points per game. Look at these scores. 142-62 against Arkansas. 116-62 against North Texas. Wyoming beat them by 36, and Grand Canyon beat them 88-49. They get Memphis coming up.
Oh, no.
On the 8th of this month. That number's probably going to be 50 in a college basketball game. They're that bad.
I was looking at another team, Arkansas Pine Bluff. Northwestern beat them 92-49 last night. I mean, when does Northwestern score like that?
Yeah, isn't that the team that Wisconsin also beat by like 40
there
plus?
There it is. Pine Bluff lost 99-57 to Marquette, 92-58 to Wisconsin, 80-63 against Iowa State, and then the abomination last night. I mean, this Pine Bluff team, I'd say, I mean, they're right there, too.
No, they're playing everybody the way it sounds, though.
Yes. All right, picks. Top horse racing plays from ExpressBet editor-in-chief Jeremy Plunk. He's got a hunch bet for the Follow the Money Army. Gulfstream, race four. He likes the one. I Need a Tequila. Phillies won three straight races while taking on more difficult competition each time. 7-2 on the morning line. Laurel Park, race four. He likes the six. Zabra Cadabra, 8-5 on the morning line. Trainer Gary Capuano has been on, was one with both of his starters last week at Laurel, including a $44 horse. You can bet these races and more using FirstBet, the top betting app of VSiN. Visit first.com/Vegas500, promo code Vegas500. Get a $10 free bet immediately and 500 more for wagering your first 30 days. First.com/Vegas500 for details. And thanks to FirstBet for coming back with Follow the Money in 2021. Thanks to Jeff and Jeremy. Good luck today.
In 15 minutes, Paul Charchian is going to join the program. A lot to go over in the fantasy football world with him. At that time, we'll run down Win Some, Lose Some. That's on deck here on VSiN.
GetUpToOddsTrader.com. Winners are made here. They do the hard work for you. Who's going to win tonight in college? All handicapping tools in one place. Free service dedicated to helping sports fans beat the books. Sign up for an account today. Real-time bet tracking, live in-game odds and scores and stats. In-game tracking tools. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses as well. Get up there. OddsTrader.com. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
Bad beat, Ravens Steelers. First half over 21, 12-7 at the half, and then you saw that fiasco. Where the time runs out, they're laying on the Ravens. They won't get up. In any event, Collinsworth was all over it, as you pointed out.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you taking your time out? What are you doing? Tough push. Barcelona total 3-0 in the 28th minute. That was the final. Dixie State, North Dakota under 146. 29-24 at the half. 94 points in the second half. Foul 147. Bad for the books. Montana State Pacific over 131 up to 137.5. South Dakota State plus 3 down to 1.5. Beat Iowa State. Win some. Defensive touchdown in the Ravens game plus 260. Lazio Dortmund draw plus 360. Lose some. Nevada Lane 3, lost by 25 against San Francisco. Evansville, Tennessee, Martin under 141 to 135. Indiana Stanford under 136 to 131. BCU over 144 up to 151. All no good there. Win some. We did it. We did it. We complained for 2-3 years. And great job here. From now on, only dogs are allowed on airplanes as emotional support animals. That's it. And just seeing the laundry list and palm readers and Eric and all these guys sending us articles, the things, the creatures people were bringing on airplanes, well, it's astonishing. And it's like, how do these people exist? What's wrong with people? Peacock? Falcon? Pony?
Pony.
Pig? I saw a kangaroo. Look at this guy. Here's Wally, my emotional support alligator. I mean, this is out of control. It's just, finally. And some people are even getting pissy on Twitter saying, my dog's well behaved. I have certificates. I'm just paying $50 and saying, okay, I'm just going to slap some thing on my dog and say he's good. But all shapes and sizes of all yep. The video here.
Just I have look at emotional support beehive I got to bring on the plane.
Look at the pony.
Get out of my way.
Look at the pony.
Yep.
God. And then the pig. And then the llama.
Llamas.
I
sure, right in the store. Go ahead. No shirt, no shoes, no service. But llamas, why not? Bring them in. What else you got?
There you go. There you go. That's it. Win, lose.
By the way, college basketball note. This team is not a board game or a board team. You can't bet them at this point. But Illinois State beat Greenville last night, 177 to 108.
Really?
I'm trying to find out information. I saw the score come across last night.
It's like that team Samford played.
Yeah, correct.
They scored 100. They had 100 at half.
At halftime.
It's a Division III team that they go crazy, rapid fire, chuck and duck, even leave.
How about Greenville's score so far this year?
Yeah.
Last night, 177-108. They lost to Murray State, 173-95. And they got beat by Missouri, Kansas City, 138-97. Can we get this team on the board somehow? I admittedly know nothing about the Greenville Panthers. Other than they're playing some Division I teams the way it appears. And they are, I'm going to guess, are they even tracked by KenPom? They can't be. The pace must be just out of control.
Yeah.
But
win some. Cheesecake Factory. I went there yesterday. The menu is 26 pages.
Yeah.
It's like you want to pull the Chris Farley and order like half the side. You like so many things on the menu.
Well, that's actually a problem to me because I can never decide at that point.
I know I can't.
Yeah.
I got like four things.
And I can never make up my mind.
Box,
yeah, exactly.
I box it. Mm-hmm. And then the girlfriend's the leftover queen. I mean, she always to-go box. And the check out the DB. I'll do this with Paul Charchi, the DB Cooper story on HBO, which is fantastic. And thanks to Michelle and Joey. Michelle came here from Ohio, said hello at 3:45 in the morning. That's great, too. There was something else I was going to say. What was it? Damn, I forgot. Oh, how about the LSU line? The defending national champs at home catching 29.5.
Yep.
What will that go off at? I mean, the public's in love with Alabama. I don't blame them. They'll lay it. Look at that point spread. That's a defending champs.
Yeah, is LSU, I believe Brad Powers in his upgraded and downgraded teams.
They're on
I think LSU is the biggest downgrade of any team throughout the season. Remember, I think he said that he, per his numbers, they were like a top five team going into the season. But they just, I mean, come on. They lost so much. And then they've had injuries. They've had other issues.
Play.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and
right.
A&M couldn't put them away. I mean, they had a defensive touchdown, and it was 20-7.
Yep.
Think about that.
Yep. A lot to talk about with Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian.
29 here. Bama 29.
All right, with guillotineleagues.com. I don't know what to do with Alvin Kamara moving forward. We'll ask him about him coming up next. Show brought to you by Points Bet. How cool is this, Paul?
Yeah.
Name a bet tool in their app. They let us make some of the prop bets tonight on the college football game featuring Air Force and Utah State. Two bets that we created. Four touchdowns in one quarter. They put up plus two 250 on it.
Happened in the last game for Utah State.
Or two defensive / special teams TDs, which they made 10-1. Go to Points Bet. Check out the VSiN Expert Picks link in their Name a Bet section. And tomorrow we'll go over with Teddy Greenstein on the show at that time when he joins us. Paul Charchian joins the program now, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, guillotineleagues.com. Charge, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Good to see you, pal. I want to run this by you first. So I have Justin Herbert at 16-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. A bunch of people who take in the show. Right, and now depends on the book where you look. He's like -550, -$7, right. -$10. Now, it feels pretty good to have 16-1 in pocket, but it's not over with, right? Guy, like in your neck of the woods, Jefferson is still alive to win this thing. I would also throw in Antonio Gibson. What do you think?
Gibson as well. Maybe even a little James Robinson. But wide receiver, it's become Justin Jefferson. People may not realize it. Justin Jefferson, by catches and yards, is ahead of Randy Moss's epic rookie season, which even people outside of Minnesota here remember. He's outproducing Randy Moss in everything other than touchdowns right now. It's that good a season for him. And I think the danger with Herbert is they're just the wins aren't there. I think there are going to be some people that are going to be reticent to give the award to a 3-win team. And that that Vikings are playoff viable right now. And if they can make a run for the playoffs, I think Jefferson makes a ton of sense. You mentioned Antonio Gibson surging of late, and Washington may end up winning that division. That could be his pathway in. And then James Robinson, if he continues at the pace he's at, he's going to have a 1,700-yard season. Get this. The rest of the running backs on Jacksonville have combined for 7 carries.
Oh, wow.
7 for the year. He's getting that much work. So, you know, if he could actually just, you know, if he could continue on that pace, I just think just the sheer numbers are going to make him eligible for this, having one of the all-time great seasons for any offensive rookie who is undrafted, James Robinson.
You know, Charge, I was actually going to say my reaction to that is, and I could be proven wrong, I guess, but I'm guessing in the history of rookies, not too many have had 1,700 yards from scrimmage.
No, not, I'm sure not, not many have. Ezekiel Elliott probably did it a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. You know, it happens, but, you know, not a lot. And that's, and certainly not in this situation. You know, Ezekiel Elliott was like the fourth player taken in the draft.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody knew who James Robinson was a week before kickoff of the season.
Okay.
Yep. Can you repeat this now for everyone? Because you were so good last week. But how, well, you're always good. But the schedule, how important this is now with the playoffs right around the corner and good matchups, bad matchups, and what to look forward to now as we're getting ready to the playoffs?
Well, yeah, and I don't necessarily want to repeat everything we said, right, but I'll highlight just my biggest worry is Dalvin Cook down the stretch as the Vikings, you know, they're just using him a lot. And earlier, 2 days ago, the Vikings offensive coordinator, Gary Kubiak, said, Dalvin Cook's been hit so hard, we have to freshen him up. Since returning from his midseason injury, Dalvin Cook has more touches than any player, 29 per game over the last 5 weeks. And last week we saw him limp off the field and he missed a bunch of time during the game. And we're like, well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, of course he is. And then the schedule, just brutal for the Vikings. Week 14, Tampa Bay. Week 15, Chicago. Week 16, the Saints. Two of those are on the road. That is a brutal stretch against the two of the three best run defenses in the NFL. And so I've got a lot of concern about Dalvin Cook's usage being drawn back, and then also with the schedule down the stretch, really difficult.
Okay, so more concern with Cook or with the guy that, you know, I'm out of my guillotine leagues now. I got chopped this past week in the league that I'm in with you. Part of the reason why is because I think Alvin Kamara's fantasy tombstone is going to read Vultured by Taysom Hill. I cannot believe what's going on right now with the Saints.
Hill has stolen 4 rushing touchdowns in 2 weeks. I mean, those are 4 rushing touchdowns that would go to Alvin Kamara, right? If Drew Brees is in there, he'd either have those rushing touchdowns or it might have caught some of those as touchdowns from Drew Brees. And, you know, the other part of it is he's got a foot injury. And remember last year, Alvin Kamara scored in 2 games all year as he languished playing with a bunch of injuries that they didn't really talk about, but you could see he wasn't quite right. And it looks like we're going through the same thing right now. He doesn't look like quite the same runner. And get this, Latavius Murray is getting equal playing time. Latavius Murray to Alvin Kamara. So you know he's not right. And brutal matchup this week coming up against Atlanta. You don't think of Atlanta as a good pass defense. Get this. They're seeing the 2nd fewest rushing attempts and the 2nd fewest rushing yards per game. Part of it's because their pass defense is bad, but they also have just a really good run defense. So this is not a get right matchup either for Kamara. And he's daggering fantasy owners down the stretch here.
Yep. Okay. So I have 2 guys now, and I played like 5 or 6 different leagues, and I'm talking here like redraft leagues or fantasy keeper leagues, or maybe even dynasty leagues. The 2 most frustrating players to me to own are either Chris Carson or Julio Jones. Is there anybody in the fantasy world playing in the NFL today that's more frustrating than either of those 2 players?
Well, we'd rather have a player just be out.
Yes.
Than, you know, I'm going to try to play through this injury when we don't know the playing time, and then we don't know about the risk of re-injury. And that's been the problem with Julio Jones, who already twice this year has started a game injured and then not finished it. And now this week could be the next time that he starts a game and you don't know if he's going to finish it. And Julio Jones is so good. Of course, the temptation is if he's on the field, I'm going to use Julio Jones because he's Julio Jones. But the reality is he's come up short in these situations already this year. And for this week, at least, I think you're going to have to show caution on him, unfortunately.
Yep. How worried are you with the Josh Jacobs ankle injury. And great job. I listened to your podcast a couple of weeks ago. You called, you told people to pick up Devontae Booker.
Yeah, Booker's looked really good, and we've seen Josh Jacobs wear down. He did it last year. He missed most of December. We're seeing it this year. There's a good chance. He didn't practice yesterday. There's a good chance Josh Jacobs does not play in this next game, and Booker's looked fantastic. He's averaging 5.5 yards per carry on the season. He fits that offense really, really well, and he could be a very sneaky guy you could pick up and start and play this week. So Booker is a sneaky pickup right now. Worried about Jacobs broadly, you know, this injury concerns me, but also just, you know, worried about what, you know, going forward, if he's going to wear down and be able to finish out the season here.
Sure. Charge, hang tight for one more segment, if that's cool.
You got it.
Yep. The website is guillotineleagues.com. His player ratings are the best in the business. It's all for free, great information. You can find it every single week. We'll do one more segment here with Paul Charchian up next. I got to ask him about the tight end position overall in general in fantasy. And we'll throw this prop at him. Four teams versus the field to win the Super Bowl. See what he thinks about it coming up next.
Rivers get a special deal for this week's NFL games. Deposit $50, get $100 in free bets. Use the code NFL100 at Bet Rivers. Get your $100 in free bets. Great customer service. Only one-time playthrough at Bet Rivers. New users only. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey is Play Sugar House. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Our good friend Brett McMurphy, who was on the show yesterday, breaking news: Liberty in Coastal Carolina has been canceled. Anytime, any place, BYU, Coastal Carolina, Saturday. College game day's there.
That's at Coastal.
Yes. Let's go.
Okay.
Good job, guys. Glad to put that together. We roll on with Paul Charchian, Fantasy Hall of Famer. Playoffs right around the corner. We don't have a Thursday game tonight. That's unfortunate, but we got a lot of things to throw at him. How about, Paul, the quarterback injuries or changes? If this affects anything, and do you think maybe Jacksonville it can help out Robinson and what Jacksonville can do?
Hey, how you doing? It's my wife, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
There's the dog. Here we go.
It's good. This is what happens when you do two segments, right?
Sure. You gotta love it. What a treat.
Was that Snacks? Scraps? What's his name?
Scrap. I think that was Pepper. I'm not positive who was behind Pepper. You there.
I think that was Pepper.
Yeah. And the PDA, yeah, so the PDA on national TV. All right.
That's right. You
know, it's give me a schmoopy before we get off the air.
We don't know the starting quarterback for Miami. That's it. That's one of the injury things we're going to track here. To my eyes, Tua has been fair. I'd much rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick when it comes down to just trying to win a game. Fitzpatrick, they say they're not going to name a start until Sunday, and that's going to put us in a bind. But to me, that suggests it's Fitzpatrick, but we don't know. You know, we don't know for certain. I think most of the rest of the quarterback situations are pretty settled. Colt McCoy is almost certainly going to start for the Giants, which, you know, obviously is not great. Philadelphia is another one that we're tracking pretty closely. But whether or not it's Jalen Hurts or not, I don't think it's going to matter much. You'll see a lot of flailing in Green Bay by the Eagles quarterbacks.
What do you expect out of Watson the rest of the season with no Fuller?
Yeah, great question. And maybe, you know, just broadly, even just that whole offense, right? So, you know, no Will Fuller, and I don't love this offense now. It's Brandon Cooks. I don't think he can single-handedly carry a passing game, the role just feels too big for him. He's always been that nice complementary player. He's got enough speed to do a little damage downfield, but not like Fuller. I mean, Fuller was the defense stretcher, right? Defenses, I think, will play to take away Brandon Cooks. And then if you take away Brandon Cooks, who's going to beat you catching the ball for Houston. Kiki Cutie, Jordan Akins. There's nobody there to do it. David Johnson comes back. By the way, wouldn't it be convenient if Houston had, let's just say, a proven veteran all-pro receiver on the roster right now? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Instead, they have David Johnson, who probably clears the concussion protocol this week, comes back, but looked totally nondescript, averaging barely 4 yards per carry, chipping in nothing in the passing game. And the Houston schedule turns brutal. They got Indy, Chicago, Indy. Those are three very good defenses. Indy's arguably the best overall defense in the NFL. It's bad. I think everything turns south for Houston here, at least for the next 3 weeks.
Okay. Is there anything moving forward, as a fantasy football society that we can all agree on with the tight end position, or do we just have to all suck it up and live with it? Like, if you don't take Kelce or Kittle in the first round, like, you're just going to be streaming guys, or maybe, Waller, some third, fourth, whatever, you got to reach for some of these guys. Because if you don't get one of the top, two, maybe three guys in the sport, you're lost and you have a complete disadvantage. Could we maybe make it like a flex position instead of a tight end position? Is there anything we can do? Yes, I'm very bitter because I don't have Kelce or Kittle. And I know Kittle's been banged up, but it stinks.
It does stink. And Kelce's so good. He's up here.
Yes.
The next closest tight end has half as many fantasy points. And then it falls, and that's Darren Waller. And then it falls off dramatically after him. There's about 2.5 viable tight ends in the league right now. And the funny thing is, and I'm guilty of this, September and August, when we're drafting it, we're like, we're going to find tight ends late. We're going to make do with, this guy's going to break out. We're going to love this guy. I love Jonnu Smith going into the season, and I look brilliant for like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And now he's completely fallen off the earth. So it's so hard. And it's Travis Kelce's the biggest differentiator there is in fantasy football, more than Patrick Mahomes, more than anybody in fantasy football. He gives you a massive advantage. And there's a case to be made that he should just be the first player taken in next year's draft because you're the one guy who's set.
Yep. Do you think at this point, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a keeper?
For real life football, I think he is. And I think he fits that offense pretty well. From a fantasy standpoint, he's been really, really disappointing because he just doesn't touch the ball that much. And mostly just because it doesn't touch the ball enough. We really would like to see him do a lot more with the opportunities he's got. Now, the matchup this week is a little bit better against Denver, and I think he's got some more opportunities here. We thought Le'Veon Bell would just dagger him, right? Mm-hmm. And that Le'Veon Bell was going to come in and take so much work that was going to be the thing that really upended Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but Bell's barely getting any work at all. In fact, for both him and Antonio Bryant, at the moment that they changed teams, when Bryant got signed and when Bell came over to the Chiefs, you could have traded those guys. You could have named your price on whatever you wanted practically for those guys, and you'd have gotten it. And together, they've shared one touchdown between their new teams. That's it.
Yep. Incredible. Anybody else that you love, maybe a sneaky start at the positions this week?
Yeah, I got a couple of sneaky starts for you. One against my Vikings. Keelan Cole is the slot receiver for the Jaguars. He's going to go up against Viking cornerback Jeff Gladney, who has allowed the most passing touchdowns and the second most yards in his coverage. And Jaguars figure to be playing from behind for at least parts of this game. And to my eyes, Mike Glennon actually looked pretty good last week.
Yeah.
And, maybe I'm just compared to other Jaguars quarterbacks, he looked good, but I thought he looked good. So Keelan Cole is a sneaky start. And then Miles Gaskin comes back for Miami, expected to be the starter. A very favorable matchup against Cincinnati, giving up the third most yards to backs and the third most scores to backs as well. So a good opportunity for Miles Gaskin to get right again.
Excellent. The website is guillotineleagues.com. Closed for the year, obviously, now, but I can't recommend it enough. You have to play Guillotine League starting next year. I can't even imagine the number I'm going to be in next year, Charge. I'd set it at about 9.5.
you're right now, you started the season with two Guillotine Leagues. You just got chopped in your second one, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And now you don't have one. And when you don't have any, it does feel bad. There's a real sense of loss when you've been building this team for 2 months, 3 months, and then you get chopped. Sorry it happened to you and our.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But the website, again, go there for the player ratings. You update them every single week, obviously, all for free. Great rundowns. I wanted to throw this at you before we let you go. So this prop idea that we kicked around, two different books made numbers on it. We'll see if they post them or not. Here at Circa, it's four teams versus the field to win the Super Bowl. Which one would you bet? The four teams.
Which four teams would I bet?
The four
teams. City.
Yeah, no, hold on. Hold on here. I'll give you the four.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. All right, go ahead.
You get the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Packers, and the Saints, or you get the rest of the NFL in the field. Here at Circa, they made those four teams plus 105.
You told me this was coming on our break between segments, so I jotted down the four teams I would want, and it was those four teams. And I think those are the four teams that I'd want to go to war with, and I think they're all better, and they're going to have home field. So I would take those four teams. The logical side of me says, give me the rest of the field. It's so many teams, and anything could happen, right?
Yep.
And a couple of quarterback injuries later, and that would feel like an awful bet. Patrick Mahomes goes down, and suddenly I wouldn't even touch that bet. But boy, those teams feel like the by far the best, and they feel like the teams that are headed home field. So I think I would take them. Where are you guys on it?
Same.
Nah, we're with you.
Same. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even though logically, I think the smart play is the field. Just those teams seem so much better.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
You guys are best. We'll talk
you
to you
are
in a
too.
Week.
You got it. He recommended Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Did you finish that yet?
No, I have not yet.
Okay.
I'm so far behind on shows right now.
Great.
But did you watch it?
Yeah.
The first episode is incredible.
Yeah. I think it's only seven, but that's
right around there.
Yes. That's supposed to be a great show, as he loves TV like we do. All right. In pocket, winner with the score not to be tied after 0-0 plus money yesterday. The field goals, that was plus 110. Excuse me, the tied after 0-0 was minus 50. But the field goal's no good. Success. 2-point conversion, we're right there. We were going to get the attempt.
I thought that was in the cash.
We were going to get the attempt.
Yep.
Steelers just couldn't. They had the red zone issues. Already on Akron, laying 2.5 against Bowling Green. The streak ends Saturday. They've lost 21 in a row. Akron will exorcise the demons. And we're halfway home with the Steeler teaser here at Circa. And I think this is disrespectful. I'm adding the Bills. Not to mention the distraction. Well, the 49ers just have to pick up and move, and now they're going to Arizona to live, to play, everything, practice.
I am fascinated by that matchup.
Yeah, I like the Bills, and Allen played well in the game against Arizona.
By the way, the Bills' defense now, last couple of weeks, defense playing much better.
Yeah.
Like, the metrics are telling you, the DVOA, not the same team that we saw in the first, 5 weeks of the season.
Yep, all right. Palm Readers, Mike Palm, loving the soccer, loving life, top three job. Today, Europa, Tottenham $1.50, Arsenal under. Oh, he's got the Bills too. Look at that. He's got 1.5. Tough beat for Mike Palm.
I bet Arizona State. I have that in pocket. I bet that 5. I thought the number was going to keep going up. It's a bad number now.
And
back
here,
down to 3.5.
And Circa makes BYU 10 on the road at Coastal. That game is now on. Coastal Liberty's off. BYU is taking on Coastal with a couple of days.
They made it 10 already?
That's what you said, right?
Well, that's what Paul Stone was going to make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and others said 9.5 or 10.
They said Circa. Okay.
Okay.
Good action.
What happened here?
They're trying to get us.
Went dark. Okay, I got you. Something else I was going to say as well. I kind of like the Giants this week. I'm coming around to the side of the Giants.
They are great in this angle, even though
10?
It's McCoy. They are great as road dogs.
Yeah.
And even though they've been
They're not. They have a sneaky good
at
covering.
10 with that defense? They did a good job, but it was Wentz.
It's a lot of points. I like the Giants. I think I'm going to have to bet them plus 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. See what else.
It'll be a fun week. Double Monday, doubleheader. Tuesday night game again.
I know.
No Thursday.
Tomorrow's good. Adam Chernoff on the program.
Yeah.
Chuck Edel will be here with us as well. Yeah, we'll talk to you then.